Barisovlosky can hear. Barisovlosky, Rebbe. Barisovlosky, unmute. Barisovlosky can't hear. Can't hear. Barisovlosky can't hear.
We can't hear.
Barisovlosky, you're mute.
So Rice tells us that Eved brings a shtar shichur, brings a document that says that he's free. But it says it in a very strange way. It says that the master is freeing him, atzbecha, v'nechostai, and the master likes him so much, he's giving the Eved all of his property as well. So he's it's quite a bill of freedom. So the question is as follows. It's really, in a sense, a double shtar that's in front of us, a dual document in front of us. There's a document of shichur, as well as there's a document of mechira, there's a document of matan, there's a document which is transferred ownership of property. The problem is that those two documents work with different rules as to how to ascertain how legitimate those documents are. So the document part that says that he is free is treated like a shtar shichur, and it's subject to the leniency of one person coming and testifying that the document is okay. The problem is the other half of the document, which says it's the same document. The other part of the document that says that I'm transferring to you ownership of all my property, that's a regular shtar, that's a regular document. There is no kula, there is no leniency of one person. There we require two edim to ascertain that the signatures are valid. So you have a very, very strange halacha, really a split pshat. That's what the Brisa says, that atzmo kana, so he himself acquires his own freedom based on testimony of one witness, but nechasa lo kana, but he doesn't acquire the property, because at the end of the day, the property requires that any other transfer property to edim to clear that the witnesses are legitimate. So that's the statement of the Brisa. So you can have such a split of sock. But the Gemara is not so sure just how far this idea goes. And we're going to now take this in terms of analyzing this general question, but I have this very strange split sock. It's the same piece of paper, and I'm going to treat it vis-a-vis one area of halacha in one way, vis-a-vis another area of halacha in another way. So by the way, we have the following question. In the case of the Brisa, so there were two distinct statements. Statement number one, atzbecha, I'm selling yourself, which is the shichur. And number two was nechasai, my property to you. So those are two separate sentences, two separate words, two different statements in the Brisa. So you can stretch that, okay, well, vis-a-vis one statement, we'll accept the testimony of one witness. Vis-a-vis the other statement, we won't. But in the case of the Gemara, the Bible, the question that the Amorim are raising, it's one statement. Chol nechasai k'ri lecha. I'm hereby transferring to you, my Eved, all of my property. Now, by doing so, I am, by definition, freeing him because he is part of that property. So it's a very, very mundane kind of a lashon that would be used to free somebody, but it's a valid lashon. If I write a piece of paper to an Eved, I'm hereby giving you all my property, you, as an Eved, are included in that statement. So now it gets a little bit trickier. Why? Because the transference of ownership, as well as the freedom, is in the same phrase. It's in the same sentence. So how in the world can we go ahead and split that and say, vis-a-vis the property, we won't accept the Eid Echad. vis-a-vis the shichur, we will accept the erechon. It's the same line, it's the same sentence. In the Brisa, at least there are two different sentences. Here, it's the same exact line. So what do you do? So ma, what's the bit? I'm Rabbi. Mitok shekana atzmo, kana nechasim. So Abaye is working with the premise, you can't split. It is absurd. It is contradictory to split between the two. And therefore, you have to make a choice. And what's the choice that we make? Since he acquires himself, because a shichur, a document of freedom, can be ascertained through one aid, therefore, by default, kana nechasim, he has to acquire the property as well. You cannot split between the two. And if the testimony of one witness works for half of it, then it works for the whole thing. So Rabbi said, Bishlama atzma likne, I understand that he acquires himself, meaning having a gerisha. Because shtashichur, a freedom document, is the same as a get, and one witness suffices. El b'chasam likne, how in the world can he acquire the property? Meaning having a kimshtar is the alma. It should be identical to regular kimshtaros, regular documents, which of course we all know require two witnesses. So Rava questioned Abaye's split between Abaye's comparison between the two. Hadom Rabbi. So Abaye changed his mind and said, you're right. But Abaye didn't back out from his basic premise. The basic premise of Abaye is you cannot split. So Abaye said, if you can't split, then we told Shalokan Chazim, since he doesn't acquire the other property because it's only one witness, Lokan Atzmo, then he doesn't acquire himself either. So Abaye is sticking to his position. You can't split. He just switched. Just therefore what? Therefore everything works. Therefore everything doesn't work. So Rav didn't like that either. I'm like, Rav, no. Bishlam and Nechasim of Nikle. I understand that he doesn't acquire the property. We didn't have a Kiyum Shtaros Diyama because it has to be similar to regular Kiyum Shtaros, which requires two witnesses. El Atzba Nikle. Why can't he get himself? We didn't have a Gedisha, the same as a get. So whereas Abaye was stuck in this model of it's all or nothing, El Amarav and Rav said, no, it's not all or nothing. It's actually a split. No matter what the case was, what Abaye thought was an untenable position, Rabbi says is actually the correct position, that no matter what happens, he acquires himself because an erechon works for shechur, whereas the property doesn't acquire because an erechon doesn't work for other shtars, for other documents. So that position of Rava, that we split our halves, we split one sentence in half, that touches on a shas topic called Pagina Dibura. When a statement is made because of some technical halachic glitches, do we have the ability to split between the two parts of the statement and say, we'll accept X and we'll reject Y, even though X and Y were in the same statement? So I'm going to have Adab and Master the Rabba, Master question, Rabba, Kiman, your ability to split the statement in half, what's called Pagina Dibura, who are you following? Karebi Shimon, your Pagina Dibura. Your statement, Rava, seems to be in sync with Rabbi Shimon's view, Rabbi Shimon Katana, who was the author of the statement of Pagina Dibura. We have a statement of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah that subscribes to the view of Pagina Dibura, and Rav Adver Mamasna is questioning Rava and saying, Rava, you must be following that view. What did Rabbi Shimon say? This time, we learned in the Mishnah as follows. Hakosev kol chosim liavdo. If a person writes all of his property to his Eved Kanani, Yatzim Ben Chorin, then the Eved goes free by definition because he's considered to be part of the property. But now it gets a little bit more complicated. Mishnah continues. Shia karka kol shehu. What if the master wrote the following statement of the document to the Eved? I'm transferring all of my property to you, but I'm leaving out one piece of land. I still want a place to live. So I'm leaving that piece of land, that field, that house for myself. So then the Tana, the first Tana, the Mishnah says, Lo yotzeh b'charin, then the deal's off. Then the game's over. Then the shichra doesn't work. Why doesn't the shichra work? So the Rashi explains that the Tana Kama of the Mishnah is of the following opinion. This phrase of Hakosef, kol nechasim liavdo, I'm giving you everything. That's not really a lashon shichra. I mean, he didn't write them, haret of b'charin. He didn't say haret of atzmacha. He didn't really free him directly. He freed him as part of the general picture of giving all of his property. Once he starts to backpedal a little bit, say, I'm giving you all my property, but some things I'd like to hold on to. Once you start saying, but, so then we have to be concerned. Maybe there are a few other buts that he didn't exactly specify. And maybe in the back of his mind, the master also meant that I'm not so sure that I want to free you either. So yes, I'm I get yourself in the cash flow too. So if it turns out that he ends up not being freed, then he doesn't own anything because Mashiach can't ever cut a rabba. So the Tanakam is of the opinion that once you start to specify certain properties are not going to the Eved, then we have to automatically be concerned that maybe the Eved's not going to the Eved, which in turn is going to undermine exactly what you're trying to do. So that's the issue that Tanakam said. But Tanakam is really the lead up. That's not the part that we need. We need to build a Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, that the Eved is free, that we don't have to be worried about that. If you said, I'm leaving behind my house on the rector court, that doesn't mean I'm leaving behind you with an Eved. There's no correlation between the two. Actually, Omar, the only time we run into a problem, Rabbi Shimon agrees, we run into a concern. If the master says as follows, I'm transferring all my property to my Eved, with the exception of 1/10,000 of my property, I didn't say I'm leaving out a piece of karka. I said I'm leaving out some of the property for myself. Some of the property, guess what? The bad news for the Eved is the property I'm leaving out is you. So the master's playing a game with the Eved. He said, I'm a very benevolent master. I'll give you everything except for a very, very small amount. That small amount may very well be the Eved himself. So Rabbi Meir was the first title of the mission. Rabbi Shimon agreed that this kind of ishtar shichur, when you start to leave things out, can potentially spell trouble for the legitimacy of ishtar shichur. But to what degree it spells trouble, Rabbi Meir says, once you leave anything out, even if it's a karka out, that already shows you're not necessarily serious. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Leaving out karka doesn't detract from the shichur. Leaving out part of the chasim does. But if you notice Rabbi Shimon's lashon, Rabbi Shimon says, it works. The other ben chayim, any and every case is going to work. The shichur is going to go through unless you didn't delineate karka. But if you did spell out karka, if you wrote to the Eved the following, by saying, I'm giving you everything except for karka, so that doesn't detract from the Mishnah shichur. Rashi points out that you can use the phrase except for karka in one of two ways. You can say, except for karka ploni, except for that particular land, or even if you said, except for a piece of unspecified to be determined later karka, that also wouldn't detract from the shichur. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if you wrote the following statement in the document, I'm hereby giving you all of my nechasim with the exception of a certain undetermined piece of karka, so the shichur is going to work. So comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, the shichur is going to work, but the baton is not going to work. How in the world can he ever take any piece of karka right now? Maybe the piece of karka he's going to take is that unspecified piece of karka. So it turns out that this shtar is not worth the paper that it's written on vis-a-vis the nechasim. The Eved has no right to get any nechasim, but he gets a shichur. So this is a classic example of Hagid and Dibura. Here we have the same piece of paper, the same line that says, kol nechasim k'ribracha, vis-a-vis the karka part, the shtar is worthless, because we don't know which piece is the unspecified piece of land that he's holding back. Vis-a-vis the shichur the Eved, the shtar is valid. That phenomenon of having a piece of paper that has one phrase in it and it's accepted for some things and rejected for other things is pagina dibura. That is what the Gemara not literally accuses Rav of saying, but points to Rav and says, you Rav, you're a pagina dibura person. You must be following Rabbi Shimon. And what's so terrible about following Rabbi Shimon? The work continues. Bahama Rabbi Yosef, the top of the third line from the top of the Testament Aleph. Bahama Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yumi, Amr Rabbi Nachman. Afa Pisha Kiles Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. Alach Rabbi Meir. Even though when Rabbi Yosi was presented this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Yosi gave a big ishkarach to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosi was a big fan of this view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Nachman said, even though it's true that Rabbi Yosi sided Rabbi Shimon, we still don't follow it. We still follow the view of Rabbi Meir. Desanya, how do we know from a braisa that Rabbi Yosi supported Rabbi Shimon's view that we do accept both the people of Desanya? Kishenemu dvam with Rabbi Yosi, when the view of Rabbi Shimon was brought in front of Rabbi Yosi, and he was told to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion called Pagina Dibura, call of a mikra hazeh. So Rabbi Yosi said about Rabbi Shimon, Svasayim Yushak Meshiv Dvarim Nechaychim. Someone who says wonderful, logical things, his lips should be kissed. Basically, Yossi gave the shkur, gave the stamp of approval to Rabbi Shimon's view. That's all very nice, true, but irrelevant, because halakha Rabbi Meir, we reject Rabbi Shimon's view, and therefore, we, in effect, reject Pagin and Dibura. If we reject Pagin and Dibura, then Rav is back in trouble. So that pedal to the Ches of the days, Rav was the one who said, when you have this document that we have to split between the two, we're going to accept the Ein Echad vis-a-vis the Shtar Shechra. We're going to reject the Ein Echad vis-a-vis the Nechasim. The Gemara says, how can you do that? Oh, Pagin and Dibura. Oh, must be fine, Rabbi Shimon. It's very nice, except that Rav Nachman, who happened to be Rav's Rebbe, was the one who said that Rabbi Shimon's view is rejected. So Rav's back in trouble, but not for long. Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, is it really true that Rav Nachman rejected Pagin and Dibura? The Gemara jumps to another potential application of Pagin and Dibura, where Rav Nachman is signing on to this idea you could split up between two statements. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman. Shchimira shekosav kol mechosav la'avdo. Shchimira, somebody who's sick, and he started to divide up his property, to give away his property. So there's a special takonas achamim that when a person is sick and he wants to divide up his property to people, so he doesn't have to make a nice kinyan. He doesn't have to go through the formalities of a kinyan. Why not? So the Gemara explains in the end of a second of the Masra, the Chazal was very nervous that here the person is very, very agitated. He's on his deathbed, and we're afraid that we're going to start, wait, we can't listen to you yet. You got to go find the kinyan, you got to get a suda, make a kinyan. Khalifa, the guy's going to get so upset that Khalifa may cause him to die earlier. What may cause him just to lose his ability to think clearly. So in order to protect the interests of the Shchibira, they made it to make life very, very easy. As long as he gives his word, he wants to give his property, divrei Shchibira, kichsuvin, b'chimsurin domi. Whatever Shchibira says in the realm of division of property is as it was written, signed, and sealed, delivered like a regular kinyan. But once they made that takona, that a Shchibira can easily give away property, they built in a little bit of a protection to that. And they said that if the Shchibira recovers, he can also back out what he said, because it's pretty clear that he only gave the property thinking that he was going to die. So if he doesn't die right away, then he can retract what he said. So Nachman said the following statement. Shchimira shekasim kol chasim liyachad. If a Shchimira wrote all his nechasim to his Eved Kenani, v'aman, then he recovers. Chayza b'nechasim, v'ein chayza b'eved. He can backpedal from the kinyan, from the matana, for the gifts that he gave, but he cannot backtrack from the shichur. Once he freed the Eved, there's no way for him to back away from that. Why is that? Chayza b'nechasim, he can back out from the nechasim because matna Shchimira, who? Because it's a regular gift of a Shchimira, and a Shchimira can always back out. He cannot back out from the Eved. Because the Eved was declared to be a free person. Once an Eved Kenani is freed, he's a regular full-fledged Jew. So once he's Jewish, imagine the following. The guy frees his Eved, and the Eved is now declared to be a free person. He counts for the minion, he gets married, and then a week later, the guy recovers. Oh, by the way, I want to backpedal. You're my Eved again. Once it's Nikra Lo Shem Ben Chayrim, then the game is over. So it comes out a very strange thing. Now, in that same document, the same statement, that freed the Eved and transferred ownership of the property, you can backpedal from half and not backpedal from the other half. So that is a violation of the rule of Pagin Dibura. You're splitting up a person's words. So I just said before that Rav Nachman didn't believe in that. Rav Nachman thought you can't split up words. You can't say Pagin Dibura. So what's the bottom line? Can you split the person's words or not? So El Amr Rabashi. Rabashi said, no, we misunderstood the original discussion about Pagin Dibura. Why was it that Rav Nachman said, Ein Alach Rabbi Shimon? Why was it that if a person writes a shtar that has a little bit of both, has a shichur in it and a matana in it, and now when the person Nachman said that you can't split between the two, there's a different reason. When you write a get, or for that matter, when you write a shtar shichur, it has to be absolutely crystal clear that the game is over, that it's a complete and total separation. So over here, if you write a shtar shichur to your Eved and you start to play games and you start to say, I'm giving you all my property, but I'm holding back a little bit, that already That's already a red flag. That's a red flag because a shashik has to be complete and total separation with no strings attached. The minute that you start to create strings attached to it, that's what's called a lav kruz gita. It's not tiris, sefer krisis. Even though sefer krisis is written by a get, but all the locks of get, isha carry off the shashikur, that's the reason why that original document wasn't acceptable. So when all acharei kechles go, when all the dust settles, we do, to a certain extent, accept the principle of pagina dibura. But in Huchish Tashikh, we have to be careful that the shtar is clear and total, complete separation between the master and the Eved. And any chashash, that maybe that separation is not complete, so it's going to be disqualified on technical grounds of Lav Kruski Tahu.
It's not really
a Lav. It is a Lav, but we misunderstood what Rabbi Meir said. We thought that Rabbi Meir was denying Pagin Dibur. It's not true. Rabbi Meir accepts Pagin Dibur, but Rabbi Meir is concerned about Lav Kruski. So this was somewhat of a difficult piece of Gemara, a little bit of a digression from the Sefer Kittin. But now we get back to our regular, a little bit easier back, the regular sugyas. So the Gemara comments, in the Yesh Lo Ernis Kaim B'chayis Bramis. If you remember back to Mishnah Dabeis, so the Mishnah drew a distinction between a person who brought a get from Chutz Loretz, in contrast to a person who brought a get from Eretz Yisrael. A get from Chutz Loretz had all kind of concerns connected to it. Maybe they don't know the Shema, maybe they don't be able to recognize the signatures, and therefore Chazal made a special takana to believe the Shliach to signify Nechafayim. A get that's brought from Eretz Yisrael doesn't have any of those concerns, and therefore there's absolutely no need to say Nechafayim Nechafayim. Problem is, it's true there's no need, but by not doing so, you're opening yourself up for a possible problem in the future. What if somebody comes and questions the get in the future? So then we're going to be in a pickle. Then the Mishnah says, in Yesh Tam Eirin, if there are people who question the get, he's kind of chesma. So we're going to have to go and find Eidim to be the kayim of the get, to do kiyum shtaros, to recognize, to authenticize the signature. Now, it's not going to be impossible to do that because it's Eretz Yisrael, but it's going to be a hassle. But that's what the Mishnah says. In Yesh Tam Eirin, he's kind of chesma. So the Gemara wants to know, technically, who is questioning this get, or particularly how many people are questioning this get? Ira kama. A get was given, man, the shliach came from Eretz Yisrael, delivers the get to the woman, and a week later, someone comes screaming that there's a problem with the get. Who is this person? Ira kama. How many people are screaming? Ilem irachat is one guy, one meshugah that's coming and questioning the get. Remember the Yechlin, the Rakol, and Irapach Mishnai? Yechlin said, Ira has to be at least two. One person, tell them to go jump in the lake. One person's not going to disqualify a get. Ve'ela ira trei. It must be, when we speak about ira, that means there were two witnesses testifying that this get is a forgery. If that's the case, the trade in them. So then how do the two witnesses who say it's not a forgery, how do they believe? Now we have four Eidim and Beidim. We have a document in front of us. We have four Eidim testifying about the document. Two are saying that we know for a fact the signatures are forged. And two others say we know for a fact the signatures are authentic. What do you do? That's what's called the trade. Betray, betray. We're not going to let this woman remarry. We're going to have to get to the bottom of this. We're going to have to figure out what's going on. So what is Chayin the Mishnah? So the Mishnah says there's a protest against this get, and by having two Eidim verify it, everything's going to be great. But doesn't understand who's protesting, who's verifying. If it's one person protesting, he's a joke. We don't have to be concerned with him. If it's two people protesting against the authenticity of the get, how in the world are the two Eidim who are testifying about legitimacy? Do they have any credibility? So says the Gemara, what it means is follows. So we have two. My chazda samchazani is machani. Why do you rely on the Eidim who said it's kosher? Maybe it's possible. El ira the baal. What changes entirely? The Gemara says, no. When the Mishnah said that somebody's protesting again, it doesn't mean some guy off the street is protesting. The husband's protesting. The husband's walking to the basin and said, I never authorized that get. You can't ignore him. You want to ignore one, the Meshuggah who's coming and screaming about a get, Zolzai. You can't ignore the Baal. So when the Baal comes and says, I never authorized that get, we are in a serious predicament. The only way to solve that problem is to get to aid them to offset the claim of the husband. That's exactly what the Mishnah says, that in the Yesh Lo Erid, if there are people, the only one that really matters is the husband's question of the get, in this guy, Mechazbah, that will do Kim Shtar, so everything will be fine. We move on to the next mission now. Maybe get didn't say if a person brings a get, two and two, we have a problem. This woman cannot get remarried. We're gonna have to figure out what to do with that. We have a big problem. And maybe get Medinas Hayam. Two witnesses come and say, we are looking at the signatures and we're telling you that this is all a sham. We know the husband never meant to divorce his wife. This is all somebody playing a game. And maybe get Medinas Hayam. She says, the person brings a get Medinas Hayam. You can't say the Fanech. I'm going to explain why not. So if there are witnesses signed on the get, it's kind of chaisman. So then we do kiyum shtaros. So the farinechtam is wonderful. It's takon. It makes life easy for us. But if for whatever reason it's impossible to do, then you fall back on the regular model. You get a Eretz Yisrael, and you do. You have to kiyum shtaros. Echad gitei noshim, echad shichur avadim, shavu malach lemedim. That gitei noshim and shichur avadim, shichur tefrin of kinani, are identical for all the halachas of the farinecha farinechtam, as we learned in the previous video. Yeah? Vis-a-vis this halacha of the farinechta, this is one of the ways that enoshim and shechur avadim are similar. It's not the only way; there are actually three ways, but this is one of the ways where the halachas are the same. So, comes the Gemara and just tries to figure out technically what the case was. What does it mean the guy can't say? Why can't he say? Let him say farinechta. Maybe we're talking about somebody who can't speak. And the word can't speak here means he can't speak, he can't hear, he's a cheresh. So he literally can't say the words before Nechtav. Yes, the Gemara, cheresh prasad, you do. If he's truly a cheresh, then he shouldn't be the shliach in the first place. Because a cheresh is a lav ba'adah, someone cannot speak, cannot hear. It's considered halachically to be like a kotel, like a child, like somebody who's a lav ba'adah, and they cannot serve as a shliach. But tonight we looked at the Mishnah, a kok shem avies again. Anybody is kosher to bring a get. A man can bring a get, a woman can bring a get, anyone can bring a get. But a cheresh, someone who cannot speak, cannot hear, or shout to somebody who is insane or cut under the age of a mitzvah, or bas mitzvah, are not acceptable to be shlichim. So what is Pshat HaMish that can't be referring to them? Amr of Yosef, Hacham HaSkinah, dealing with the following, the giving of the get was done when he was still well, because he was a regular kosher shliach, he never didn't get around to saying b'fayinechem until later. Unfortunately, later he turned into a cheresh, and he could no longer say the b'fayinechem. So the Mishnah is talking about a very, very strange case. The point of the Mishnah is not to talk about a specific case. The point of the Mishnah is just to highlight the fact that b'fayinechem is the right way to go. It's the convenient way to go, but it's not the only way to go. And for whatever reason, it becomes impossible. So then there is a backup plan, even for a get from chutz l'aretz. Namely, you go down the regular rule of kiyum shtaros.
Matter that he can't hear. It's much more common just for someone to lose their ability to speak than to lose their ability to speak and hear.
Right.
So,
I mean, why did the Gemara just give a simple case that he lost the ability to speak? But yeah. Say, oh, very young. Mechav Toys Kasha. Toys is back a few thousand ago. Says, wait a second, what happened here? Why did the Gemara say Elaine? Why did the Gemara just say that he can't speak? It's like, this is your feeling, but person that never had a stroke or something, he can't speak, he's still here. So, oh, very good. Tyson, hold on to your shy in a while. We have to save that for the insurance, because we're hoping we get to that in a couple of weeks or months, depending on the effects. But very good, excellent, right on target. So, comes the Gemara now and elaborates on this list of the similarities between Shichur Avadim and Gidei Noshim. So, the Gemara continues, Echei Gidei Noshim Shichur Avadim, Tanur Avadim, Lerner Debraisa. There are three ways that Gidei Noshim and Shechur Avadim are similar to one another. So Shavu L'Moluch L'Meidi, they are similar vis-a-vis these halachas of bringing a get, same with Farnech Farnechlam. Similar in the second way, V'chol Get She'esh Lav Ekusi Pasul, Chutz B'Gidei Noshim Shechur Avadim. If one of the witnesses who signs it again is a Kusi, Kusi is a tricky person, we spoke about a little bit in the past, he's the whole machlok is whether they're even Jewish in the first place. They were Jewish, the later generation they weren't Jewish. Even assuming that he's Jewish, he's very shaky, very questionable what his trustworthiness is. So there's a special halacha that a shtar that has a kusi signed on it will not be acceptable, except if it's a get, or if it's a shtar shich, which is a little bit counterintuitive why this should be so. So we must get explained a little bit later on why here we have a certain leniency vis-a-vis a get, a shtar shich. And the third halacha is Chol Shtaros Ha'olim Be'akosh of Bichav Abish Mizmer Bichav Ksherim Chutz Be'kitin Ha'shukur Avodim. That if you have a document that was supervised by non-Jews, which written up in the non-Jewish courts, signed by non-Jewish witnesses, it can sometimes be acceptable, but not considered get and shashik. That has to be done supervised. The Jewish Kohen has to be done by Beis and by Kosher Edim. So hopefully we're going to talk, as the sugyas develop, we're going to talk about each one of these similarities, some potential differences between the different kinds of shashik and stuff. You take a quick look.